The theme for this morning is what determines your luck? What determines your luck? Now, this is quite interesting because the word luck is an interesting word. When you use the word in Afrikaans, Afrikaans has got a different word for it. We use the word geluk. The difference between the word geluk in Afrikaans and the word luck in English is that there are multiple meanings of the Afrikaans word. There are multiple things that we can use the word in different sentences and in different contexts. It is almost like Hebrew. The problem is that when you translate it back into English, or specifically with Hebrew, if you look at Hebrew, when the translators translated Hebrew back into English or into Afrikaans, into whatever language, the Hebrew language is so rich that it is difficult to use one single word to describe what the Hebrew actually tells us. And in this case, with the Afrikaans word geluk, it is difficult to describe it in English without using various other words in English to describe what that word actually means. I've used the word luck because that is one of the things that we know and that we understand and that we actually use a lot in our daily lives. The interesting thing about this is when we actually want to look at the meaning, and what I want to talk to you about this morning, it is not just the luck. The important thing is what determines your luck, but it's not just the word luck that I want to talk about. There are various other things, because you can use luck in the sense that I want to use it and in the sense that it's used in the Bible. Well, I'll get back to that. But what the Bible talks about is not luck. The Bible talks about joy and favor and prosperity and various other things. In English, we've reduced it to the word luck. And you'll see what I mean when I get a little further into this message. So what I actually want to highlight this morning is I want to talk about luck and probably a little bit about joy. Two of the meanings. The other meanings will also become apparent, you know, during the service and during this message to you. But I think what I want to do for now is concentrate on those two and talk to you about that and what that involves and what the importance of that is in our lives today. You see, it is so interesting because as human beings, because, you know, we are children of God, but we are human beings. And as human beings, we are so easily deceived by the world, by the New Age system, and by Satan's temptations. Every single one of us. And I don't think there's anyone here this morning that can say, nah, I've never been deceived. I've always seen the right way. I've always known that was a fake. Or I've always known this was incorrect. Or I've always... No, we don't. Because sometimes we get drawn in by the system. We get so drawn in by this that we sometimes don't even realize what we are getting ourselves into. We get involved in things and then later on find out, but things have gone wrong in my life and I don't understand why these things have gone wrong in my life. And only when I get the knowledge of what I've been involved with do I realize, but that is the cause of the issues that I'm experiencing in my life. You see, we as human beings, we are enticed by advertising, by idols, and I'll explain it a little better. We are enticed by advertising. If we as human beings were not enticed by advertising, there will not be advertising on TV or in newspapers or on billboards. Because people know that you put something up on a billboard or you show something on the TV or you show something in a magazine and people go, oh, I need that. And some people for 40 years of their lives never needed that thing. But the moment they see it advertised and the moment this advertisement tells you how important this thing is going to be in your life, you suddenly develop a need for it and you've got to have it. You see, that's what advertising do to us. We are enticed by idols. And whether it's sports idols or music idols, but you know what we do. I mean, even this, there's a program on TV that they call Idols. What is an idol? Do we know what idols are? Do we know why we call them idols? The Bible tells us very clearly what an idol is. It is something that comes in the way of God, who should be our only God. And we worship other things and we worship people. And that's why we call them idols. And what really bugs me is that people say, oh, you have to have some idol. That's rubbish. I've got one. And that's Jesus Christ. That's it. I don't need anything else. But we sometimes look at these people, and whether it's sports heroes or whatever you want to call them, or you know, people in the music industry, but when they do something, or if they wear something, or they do something in a specific way, or if they tell you that something is such an amazing thing to have, what do? First thing we do, we run out there and we go and buy it. It's quite amazing that we look on these things to determine what we should do in our lives. There's peer pressure. Because so many times I've heard, and it's not just at school, but at school it's easier because the people get enticed a lot easier at school. But at school, you know, the kids will come home and say, "Dad, I need this." I said, "No, you don't need that." "Yeah, but everybody at school's got one. I have to have it because I'm going to be the odd one out." You know, sometimes it's not so bad to be the odd one out. Sometimes it's actually good to be the odd one out, to be different to the rest, to be different to the world, because God says that we must separate ourselves from the things of the world. So when we do what God tells us to do, when we live for Christ, when we live according to what the Word tells us, we are going to be different and we are going to stand out. But it's a good thing to stand out if you do it for the Lord. And you know what? Most of these things, if we look at advertising and you know what we see out there in the world, it's actually all just false claims. Because none of the things that they offer us, none of the things that they tell us about can actually do what it tells us. We believe it does, but it does not do that. You know, the funny thing is that every one of us fall for this whole thing at some point in time. Every one of us falls for Satan's temptations at some point in our life. Temptation is not exclusive. Temptation includes everyone. No one is excluded from it. Temptation is for every single person, not just for an elect few. And sometimes we think, you know, that, oh, no, I will never be tempted. No, we are all tempted. Let me tell you, when we are not tempted, we need to worry, because then Satan doesn't worry about us anymore. Then we're not a threat to him anymore. So be happy when you are tempted, because then you are, at least you are doing something right, and you are doing something that Satan doesn't want, and he wants to tempt you into all sorts of other things. There was sorry to the youngsters in the congregation this morning, but there was a gentleman who used to be a singer, and I don't know if some people will remember him. His name was Cliff Richard. I think he's still alive. He's now Sir Cliff Richard. Don't know why, what he did, but anyway, he is now Sir Cliff Richard. And the year that I was born, in 1963, Cliff Richard sang a song. And the song was called Lucky Lips. I see a lot of smiles. A lot of people can remember Lucky Lips. And there's something that he said in that thing. He was talking about how lucky his lips were and how his mother always used to say he had lucky lips. But there's something that he says in that song that's actually quite interesting. He says, if I can remember correctly, he says, "I don't need a four-leaf clover, a rabbit's foot, or a good luck charm, because I've got lucky lips." But he's got something that is lucky. He's got something that brings him luck. You know, and if we look at people today, isn't it amazing how many people are involved with the other things? Like good luck charms, or a good luck something, or a good luck bracelet. But there's always something that brings us luck. Years ago, people used to wear rabbit's foot around their necks. Did you ever see that? I mean, some of the guys will know. It was like a little rabbit's foot, and you ask people, "Why you wear that?" "No, it brings me luck." Well, it wasn't that lucky for the rabbit. So I don't know how it's going to bring you luck if it wasn't that lucky for the rabbit who actually owned it at some point in time in his life. But you know what? We as Christians get involved in the same thing as the world entices us into. We believe in luck. We believe that luck will bring us joy. And we believe that luck will bring us happiness. And we believe that luck will bring us prosperity. These are all false hopes. All false hopes. There's only one hope in our life, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, it's as I mentioned, in modern day society, there are so many things these days that bring us luck. One of the things that I'm very afraid with and I'm very aware of, because I love to play golf. And some golfers have a lucky coin or a lucky marker or a lucky belt or a lucky shirt or a... Do you remember at one point in time as, what was his name? Tiger Woods. In the final round of a tournament, he would wear a what? Who can remember? A red shirt. Why? Because that brought him luck. He felt that when he wore the red shirt, he would be in with a chance to beat everybody else, to beat his competitors. Always used to wear a red shirt. You know that it is so bad that when I still played regular golf, some of the guys, they had a lucky marker or a lucky coin. And they believed if they forgot that thing at home, that they will have a bad round. It's not their own skill. It's not, you know, the ability that God gave them to swing a golf club or to do everything. No. If that coin was not there, they were in a state because it was a problem. They wouldn't be able to have a good round. And some people have different things. You know, some people have like Tiger Woods, a lucky shirt. Or I've heard of people have a lucky tie. Have you heard of that? I've heard of people that when they go for an interview, they wear a specific tie because they know that that tie would bring them luck in the interview. As Mark Hodges says, there's a Greek word for that. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. You see, but it goes even further than luck. These are things, all these things that we gather, it's stuff to give us false hope. But it goes even further than that. I don't know if you've seen, but there are special kinds of bracelets that people wear these days. Some of them have got magnets in it for all sorts of to improve your blood flow. Anyway, let me not go into that. But I picked this up one day. I think it didn't work, so the person left it here in the building. And you get these little bracelets. And I don't know if you've seen these bracelets. It's got like a little silver thing in them. And people wear it, and I've seen especially golfers, and I can talk about it because I know what golfers do. And especially golfers because this gives them balance. Do yourself a favor and go look at how many people wear this rubbish. And you get different ones. It's now become a fashion item. But I don't know if you're like me. I'm always intrigued by things. So I cut this one open to take the little silver thing out. Do you know what it was? A piece of foil. A piece of foil to give us balance in life. How crazy are we getting with these things? You know what? It's just a trick. It's a trick that Satan plays on us so that we can depart with our money on things that we don't even need. That's exactly what Satan is trying to do. And then we sit in a position because we want stuff, and we sit in a position because we don't know what to do with the stuff, but now that we have it, we still owe money on the stuff, and now we say, where's God? Because I've got financial problems. Where's God? Why is he not helping me? I'll tell you why he's not helping you, because you're helping yourself to stuff that he doesn't want you to get involved in. And that's the problem that we have with society today. I want to elaborate a little bit on bracelets, because bracelets is quite an interesting thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that every bracelet that everybody is wearing is a problem. But who knows what a charm bracelet is? Ah, I see a few people know what a charm bracelet is. Have you ever seen charm bracelets? It's a bracelet that people wear, and they hook all sorts of things onto this little bracelet to bring them what? To bring them luck. A lucky bracelet. Have we ever considered what the meaning or the origin of this charm bracelet is? And the little things that you hang on it is called amulets. Or it's also called a talisman. Go do yourself a favor and go read up just in the normal Oxford dictionary what the meaning of a talisman is. And we hang these things on our wrists because it looks good and it shines and it looks pretty. And sometimes when we want to buy a gift for somebody, we buy them this bracelet because every year after that, I can only buy one little thing to go onto the bracelet. Some men think they're very clever when they do that. Because the most expensive part is the first time you buy the bracelet with the first charm on it. And then we buy a charm every now and then. We put another charm on the bracelet. But what is the origin of these things? Did you know that amulets are magic charms worn by people to protect themselves from negative energies, from evil, and from injury? That's what those things are actually for. And that's not all. These guys believe that when they wear these charms or amulets, it will bring them luck. What these things are actually used for is for witchcraft and to put spells on people. If you go and talk to some of these witches that are around, they wear these amulets. They wear bracelets because every one of those amulets they use to put spells on different people. But what do we do as Christians? Children of God, we get involved in the things of Satan and in the things of the world because we think it's cute. And you know what I've heard? Yeah, it's okay, I can wear it because my God is stronger than that. Yeah, absolutely, your God is stronger than that. But your God doesn't want you to get involved in it. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to be free of whatever these things bring into your life. But we always run around and looking for things and looking for stuff that can bring us either luck or prosperity or joy or health. Instead of going to the one who created everything and going to God and saying to God, Lord, I trust in you. Not in anything else that is offered in this world today. Do we know that God actually warns us against these things in His Bible? God warns us against these things. Bracelets and all sorts of funny things that we wear. Listen, let me read to you what He says in the Torah. Or In the the first five books in the Bible is called the Torah. So let's go and look at what He says there. Let me read to you. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 12. And listen carefully because this is really important for us as Christians. For us as children of God, we need to start taking notice of what God tells us in His Word. He says, when you come to the land which Jehovah your God is giving to you, you shall not learn to do according to the hateful acts of those nations. What does God tell us? In the first verse that I've just read to you, God tells us not to get involved with the things that the pagans or the heathens are involved in. He says, when you are in the world, you are a different nation. When you are a child of God, you are separated unto Him. You are separated unto God. You're a different nation. And when you are in the world, in another nation, when you come into the land of these different nations, and each one of us here is in the land of a different nation because we are in the world. He says, don't get involved in the stuff that they're getting involved in. I don't want you to be part of that. He talks about hateful acts. That's how God sees these things. He says, there shall not be found in you one who passes his son or his daughter through the fire. And this was a ritual that was done because they thought of this would cleanse the children. The only problem is most of the children burned to death when they tried to do this. This was worshipping other gods. One that uses divination. Do you know what divination is? Have you ever been in a position, and I can talk about this because I was involved in it. People get a pendulum. And they ask the pendulum a few questions, and whether the pendulum swings from side to side or swing in a circular form, they get a yes or a no answer. Has anybody ever been involved where somebody says, let's see how many children you're going to have, and they take one of the lady's hairs, plug it out, put a golden ring around the end, and they hold it in a glass of water, and then they say, tell us how many children this person's going to have, and this thing hits the glass, ding, 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 three or four times. Sometimes 50, and then the people faint. But how stupid are we? How stupid have we become to trust in a stupid thing that hangs on a piece of wire on our hair, and now we ask that questions and we believe that what it says to us? That is divination. Have you ever seen a guy walking around with a copper wire telling you trying to show you where to drill for water? You know that? You know what that is called? Divination. It's called divination. God says don't get involved with it. He says, or a whisperer of spells. Somebody that uses things to put spells on other people. Or a magic charmer. And a magic charmer, if we go and look at the definition of what the word tells us, is somebody that uses a charm bracelet to put spells on people and to believe that this thing is going to bring them luck. That's a magic charmer. That's why these things are called magic charms, or these amulets that hang around it. Or one consulting mediums. I don't know if you remember, some time ago there was this huge craze. And people got stuck in front of the TV because there's some guy got up and he said, and he talks to me, he's a medium, he talks to the other side. And do you want to hear from your father or your mother or your aunt or your whoever, the kid that bullied you at school or whatever it is? And we got stuck in front of this TV and we watched it and we believed it. The Bible says, it is determined for man to die once and then the judgment. There are no spirits of our fathers and grandfathers and people running around this earth. These are demons, familiar spirits. And we get involved with the things of Satan. And we think it's cute. And what's worse is this guy gets up and he says, and this is a God-given talent. When God tells us not to get involved in this stuff. Or a spirit knower, or one inquiring of the dead. For all doing these things are an abomination to Jehovah. And because of these filthy acts, Jehovah your God is dispossessing these nations before you. What does he say to us? Do not get involved in this stuff. See, a charmer was that person, as I mentioned before, using amulets for magic and for casting spells. Ezekiel comes and he says this about it. Listen to what Ezekiel says. Ezekiel 13 verse 18, and he says, and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? What is God telling us? What they did is they sewed these magic charms. When they talk about sleeves, around their sleeves, today we do it just differently. We buy a little chain and we hook these things onto the chain. God says, don't get involved. He says, think what you do before you do things. You know, sometimes we get involved in stuff and it looks good and it looks cute and it looks nice, but we never ever go back and look at the root of what it is and where it comes from. We never go back and find out, but is this not maybe something that God does not want me to get involved in? But because it looks nice and it feels good to me, I do it anyway. Without even asking, and without even researching where this stuff comes from. So many times we get involved in stuff that we shouldn't even be involved in, even though it looks good and it feels good to us. But that comes out of the flesh, not out of our spirit. You see, God was completely against the things which we believe is okay for us to do today. And one of the problems that I have today is that people are preaching this whole grace teaching. And they don't understand what the grace of God means. And they talk about grace, grace, grace. And you can do anything that you want now because the grace of God is just so good. He will cover it everything. No, it's wrong. Because God tells us there are certain things that he does not want us to get involved in. You see, God is against relying on luck. God does not want us to rely on luck. God does not want us to believe that luck will bring us joy and prosperity. You know what I wanted to do? I actually wanted to provide you with scripture in the Bible concerning luck this morning. It wasn't possible because the word luck does not appear in the Bible. Not even once does the word luck appear in the Bible. When we go and look at this, at the definition of this word, luck, it becomes even more interesting. If we look at what the Oxford Dictionary says about the word, it says the following, and I think I've got it up there for you. It says, it describes the word luck. So you take any Oxford Dictionary, go look it up, you'll see this is what it says there. Success or failure apparently brought by chance. I'm going to read it again, what the Oxford Dictionary says. Success or failure apparently brought by chance. Good luck or bad luck, depending on how we look at things. You know what's so interesting? Is that not even the Oxford Dictionary calls chance a definite. He calls it is apparently, because it cannot be proven. It means that something happens by random chance. Random chance. It sounds like some theory that some clever scientists have about the origin of life. I think they call it evolution or something like that. Things happen by random chance. Do we believe in random chance? Do we as Christians, as children of God, believe in random chance? Well, let me bring you to another thing that Christians like to get involved in. It's called the lotto. Has anybody ever bought the lotto ticket here? We have. What is the lotto? It is luck. It is random chance. We don't believe God can provide for us, so what do? We want some external force out there to provide us with some luck so that we can come into some money. It's nothing other than gambling. Whether you go into one of these casinos and put money in a machine and pull the lever and hope that you would be lucky enough to get some money out of it, it's the same thing when you buy a lotto ticket. It's gambling. It's got nothing to do with God's guidance. And it's actually quite interesting that this week, as I mentioned to you, I spoke to somebody, and one of the things that we spoke about was about the lotto. You see, sometimes we in need. And we do something like play the lotto and we win some money. And we believe, but God provided. Well, let me tell you, I don't believe God provided at all. I think Satan provided. Because let me tell you how these things work. Let me tell you how gambling works. And every casino works on exactly the same way, in the same way. And the reason why I know this is because I worked on Sun International, was one of my customers at one point in time, and we provided the networking that goes behind all of those slot machines. And I know how the program works that runs those slot machines. Every one of those programs, the application will pick one of those slot machines at random. It'll pick a number, and it will pay out a certain amount. And there's a percentage that gets paid out. If that certain amount of money does not come in, that thing will not pay out. So it takes a small percentage, and it pays out a small percentage. But what it does, it pays out a little every now and then. And what does that do? Have you ever seen people playing a slot machine? I almost said I had the privilege, but I don't know if it was a privilege. Maybe it was because I learned something from it. I had the privilege to be in Las Vegas at one point in time in my life, and I walked through the casino. We stayed in one of the biggest hotels, the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And the scary part about Las Vegas is when you walk out the airplane into the airport building, you walk into slot machines. It's all over the place. In the airport building, in shops, in hotels, you walk into the foyer of the hotel, you've got to walk past the slot machines to get to the front desk. And you know what you see there is people sitting in front of that thing with buckets full of coins, and they put the coins in and they pull that lever, and they put the coins in and they pull that lever. And what happens? Every now and then, it pays out some money. And what does that do to us? It entices us to play more. Because we're waiting for that big hit, or whatever they call it these days. What do they call it? The jackpot. We're waiting for that big jackpot. And sometimes Satan does the same thing to us because we play the lotto and money gets paid out. We think this is provision from God, but it's actually Satan trying to keep you playing the lotto. Because if you've won once, will you stop playing? I've never seen it happen. Go and do yourself a favor and go and do a little bit of research on people that has won millions in casinos. See how many of them are still millionaires and still have their money. Have a look. It's quite interesting. You know what scares me the most is that we put our trust in this random chance. And I've learned that there are some pastors that tells their congregation that it's okay to go and play slot machines and to go and gamble in casinos. As long as you bring your tithe back to the church. We know of a church that's got a little bus. And once a week, the people from the congregation who wants to go and gamble comes to the church, and they put them all in the church bus, and they drive them to the casino, and they gamble. I don't want to be in that pastor's shoes one day. It's totally bizarre what people do. How they do not trust in God, but they trust in luck. How they trust in random chance. What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing? Do we know what God thinks about this? Let me read it to you, just if you didn't know. Isaiah 65 verse 11 says the following. And what I'm going to do this morning, I want to read it in Afrikaans as well, because I think the Afrikaans describes it a lot better than the English does. And this is from the literal translation of the Holy Bible, not from the King James. I like the literal translation because I'll tell you why later. Isaiah 65 verse 11 says the following. It says, but you are those who forsake Jehovah, who forget my holy mountain, who array a table for fortune, and who fill mixed wine for fate. God is against the fact that we put our trust in chance. God is against the fact that we trust luck. God is against the fact that we trust fate. How many times do we get involved in something or we meet somebody and then we say, oh, that must have been fate that brought us together. No, it's not. We need to start trusting in God and trust Him only, as we sang earlier. But do we actually do that? Let me read this to you in Afrikaans. And unfortunately, I don't have it on there for you. I decided this morning I want to do it quickly. Listen to Afrikaans what it says. It says, maar julle wat die Here verlaat, wat my heilige berg vergeet, wat 'n tafel dek vir die geluksgod en die mengsel inskink vir die godin van die noodlot. What does God tell us? He says, when we get involved in these things, we are worshipping other gods. We are putting other gods higher than He is. That's what we are doing to Him. God is not a God of random chance. Everything in His creation is by divine design. Do you remember when we had those teachings, when I had the teachings about our DNA and the fingerprint of God? How we saw that everything in this world, everything from the biggest to the tiniest thing in this world, has got God's fingerprints in it. Up to our DNA has got God's fingerprint in it. Everything is designed. There is nothing that is called random chance. Nothing. Nothing happened by random chance. God planned everything. Do we know this? Do we actually know that God is a God of divine design? And we say yes. But if we say yes, why do we still rely on luck? Why do we still do things that we trust random chance to do this for us? How much do we actually trust in God? God never promises good luck. Never ever in the Bible will you read a verse that says that God promises good luck. God has a defined purpose and a plan for this world and for you and for me. A defined plan and a defined purpose for every single one of us. And you know what is interesting? This plan is not a secret. The plan and the purpose that God has for your life is not a secret. It is there for everybody to read and to understand. It is called the Holy Bible. If we just take the effort to read what God's purpose and God's plan is for us, we will see it every time that we read the Bible. He agrees. I've got an amen, at least one amen in this congregation this morning. Do you believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Do you believe that? Well, let me tell you, He has. Let me read to you Romans 8 verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And everyone that is a child of God is called to God's purpose. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life, regardless of whether you think He does not. He has a purpose for you. We don't have to rely on luck. We don't have to put our faith in worldly things. You see, if we love God, He gives us a promise that things will work out to our benefit regardless of what it is. Sometimes we go through trouble, but you know what? If we love God, His promises that even the trouble that we have gone through will work out to our benefit. And I can vouch for that. I can vouch for that because bad things has happened in my life. Bad things happened to Sonia and I. But you know what? God has used that in His kingdom. We have to trust in God. We have to put our trust in God. Have you ever wondered, have you ever heard somebody saying, and I made the mistake on Friday? How many times do we meet people and we talk to people and they tell you a story and you say, wow, what luck. Man, that was good luck. Or something bad happens to somebody. Oh, sheesh, that was bad luck, man. Or when somebody goes somewhere and you wish them what? Good luck. Do we do that? Or am I the only one that does that every now and then? This morning I did it again. And I'm preaching on it. I walked up to Ruan this morning and I saw the two boys. And what did I say to him? He's such a lucky dad. No, he's not a lucky dad. He's a blessed father. He's blessed by God. And we must stop using this stupid word luck. On Friday, the kids were here. Or the youth. Not the kids. The young people were here. And on Friday night, one of the guys said to me, he studies in Namibia. In Windhoek. I love the place. If I emigrate one day, it'll be to Windhoek. I think it's one of the nicest places on earth. Well, the first thing, everybody speaks Afrikaans, which is great. I can understand a whole lot of them. But it's clean and it's nice and people care for each other in that place. And you know what I said to him? I said, oh, you lucky fish. No, he's blessed to be there. He's blessed by God to be there. We must stop using this word. But we do it without even thinking about it. This morning I walked in, and I'm preaching on it now, and I walk in and I use the word without even thinking about it. What does God say? Just keep your thoughts captive. But we don't do that. We just say things at random because it sounds good. And actually what we want to say to somebody is you know, when we use this word good luck, is we want to wish them well. That's actually what we want to do. But it has become second nature for us to just use this stupid word. Because everybody else uses it. See, we must trust in the Lord. We must trust in Him. We've been so conditioned by the world that we actually negate what the Bible teaches us. That's how involved we are in the things of the world these days. What should we be saying to somebody? We should actually be saying to them, may God bless you. Or, you've been blessed. Wow, God has blessed you in this instance. That's what we should be saying instead of, oh, good luck. Oh, how lucky are you? Let's start thinking about what we say to people when we trust in the Lord, when we trust in God. You know what is so amazing to me? Even when we want to use scripture to actually bless somebody, or to wish somebody well, there's the Aaronic blessing. Have you ever read the Aaronic blessing? Who knows what the Aaronic blessing is? Okay, some of you know the Aaronic blessing. You get it in a little book right in front of the Bible. It's called Numbers. In the book of Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26, it says the following. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Amen. That's what we should be saying to people. That's what we should be blessing people with. It is by far better than to say to somebody, good luck. I'd rather have people say that over me than saying to me, good luck. Wouldn't you? Amen. But you know what God says in the next verse? That is verse 6 that I ended with. But listen to what, verse 26. Listen to what He says in verse 27. Just the following verse. He says, so they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Hey, how amazing is that? What is God telling us? He says He wants to put His name upon us. Now we're talking about translation, and the reason why I like the literal translation of the Holy Bible is this reason. When you read that, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then in the next verse, he says, he wants to put his name upon us. When you go and read the Hebrew, the word the Lord does not appear there. The word the Lord is a translation used by people for the name of the Holy God. Because in Hebrew, and the literal translation, you've seen some of the verses that I've read to you comes from the literal translation. Let me tell you what, I'm going to read it again. I want you to follow. Just get back to the previous one for me. That one. Thank you. So I'm going to read it as it actually stands, as it says it in the Hebrew and in the literal translation. It says, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you. And be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. His name is put upon you. And when he says in the next verse that I want to put my name upon you, he wants to put his name Jehovah upon each and every one of us. You see, when he called Abram, he put his name upon Abram's name. And Abram became Abraham because the name Jehovah was inserted into the name of Abraham. That's what God wants. He wants to put his name upon us. You see, he wants us to trust in him, not in the things of random chance. God wants us to trust in him and to follow in his ways. That's what he wants us to do. In Philippians 4 verse 19 and Ephesians 3:20, God tells us the following. He says to us, and my God will fill your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Who will do everything for you? God will do it through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now to him being able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think according to the power working in us. We don't have to trust in luck because God will do more than you can even think if we trust in him. If we just put out for faith in the Lord, if we trust him. You see, it is God's word that teaches us his way to find joy and happiness and success and prosperity. His word tells us how it works. You see, if we follow his instructions, we will experience all these things. It is a promise to everyone that follows his word. Joshua 1 verse 8 says the following. Listen to this carefully. It says, this book of the law. In the Hebrew, it doesn't say this book of the law. It says this writing of Torah. Okay, this writing of Torah, it means the first five books of the Bible, not just the portion of it, the whole Torah. It says, this writings of the Torah shall not depart out of your mouth, and you shall meditate on it by day and by night, so that you shall be on guard to do according to all that is written in it. It doesn't say to some that is written in it. It says to all that is written in it. For then you shall prosper your way, and then you shall act wisely. And some of the translations says, where it says act wisely, it will says, and you will be successful. If you trust in the Lord and you follow what God tells you to do. So what is my conclusion regarding luck this morning? Let me tell you. Luck is an insult to God. It is a denial of the sovereignty of our Lord God. It is a reluctance to trust God completely. It is a refusal to give God all the glory and the honor and the thanks in everything that we do. In everything. It is an unbiblical thought paradigm. You see, the Bible clearly instructs us to oppose and destroy such thought patterns and thinking. The Bible instructs us to, what do we need to do? It instructs us to renew our minds as an ongoing process. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it says the following. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And instead of me walking into the church and telling Ruan that he's a lucky dad, I must think about it, what I'm going to say, take my thoughts captive and say, you are a blessed man. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we're so conditioned against it that we use things that we shouldn't. So what should we do? How should we act as born-again Christians? How should we act as children of the living God? Well, let me tell you what we should do. We should trust in God and in Him alone, like we sang this morning. Only you, only Christ, nothing and nobody else. That's the first thing that we should do. The next thing that we should do is we should study the Scripture to know that God will guide every step of our way. That we will know His character, that we will know who He is, that we will get to know Him intimately. And that we do through His Scripture. We should honor Him, praise Him, and give Him thanks in everything that we do. Absolutely everything. That is what we should be doing. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Not believe that we've got lucky lips like how Cliff Richard was singing in his song. But that we use our lips to praise the Lord. Have we ever sat and thought what we use our lips for? Because sometimes we use our lips for other things than praising the Lord. And then we wonder why things are going wrong in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what God wants for every one of us. That we would recognize Him and that we give thanks in everything through Jesus Christ. That is His will for us. So let me tell you, there is no such thing as good luck. So if there is no such thing as good luck, the next thing we should do is what? Eliminate it from our speech. Eliminate the word from your words that you use on a daily basis. There is only God. He's in control. And there's no one else but Him. Let us live a life, each one of us, let us live a life of honoring and praising and thanking God for everything through Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I thank You this morning that we can know, Lord, and that we can see in Your Word this morning that You are the only one. That Your Scripture, Lord, tells us that there is no one but You, and that You want us to trust in You and trust in You only. Help us from today onwards that we will capture every thought. And when we open our mouths, that we will think of You before we say something. Thank You for this message. Lord, I know that this message was important for us today. And that You wanted us to hear this morning. Thank You that we can know that You're in control because You are our Father. And we love You. We love You with our entire beings. Amen. Amen.